this lesson could not be more appropriate for this time of year. We see signs of new life everywhere. The daffodils are beautiful. My peach tree is blooming. The tulip poplars are getting ready to bloom, and my tulip magnolia is beautiful. Most of us who love outside have already started to buy grass seeds. I've already called the gardener to come in and aerate, lime, fertilize the yard, planting new seeds, gone by Tractor Supply and bought GMO seeds. That's non-genetically modified seeds for those people that don't know this. And we are anticipating Good Friday because if you've got that farming gene, you know you're going to plant something on Good Friday. I've already got my garden tilled up and lined out. A simple dried up seed. But yet that simple dried up seed has the genome for an entire species. Whether it's a blue lake, string beans, bush beans, radishes, carrots. I love to garden. But this morning's lesson is not about germination. It's about the mystery that God has planted for us in the parable of the seed. Jesus said, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it is but one seed. This morning, this parable that Jesus is teaching us has three lessons. One, he teaches us that he must die. Secondly, he teaches us that God is in control.
Amen.
And thirdly, he teaches us that his death has a purpose.
Yeah.
Jesus said that his time has come to be glorified, and that is approaching. That he will die, but through his death, there will come an abundance of fruit. In the gospel, there's already evidence of the possible fruit, as the people who have gathered around him are both Jew and Gentile. But they will be many, many more. Jesus tells us he must die so that he can glorify the Father. His death has a purpose, and it's with God's intention. God the Father is in control, and this is what Jesus will accomplish. All during this time, this Lenten time, we see the earth change from frozen and bleak and cold and unforgiving. And then we see the spring come in and the clouds and go away, and the cloud is no longer gray, it's blue. And we start to feel hope. Winter, if you're like me, is depressing. And you kind of lose hope. But I love Ash Wednesday because it's the beginning of Lent, which means spring is coming. Mm-hmm. Jesus has risen from the grave, and we live anew. If you go back to the story of Abraham in Genesis, Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac. And so he took his son and he went off. And his son Isaac looked at him, "Father, where is the ram?" And Abraham kept walking. Can you imagine how brokenhearted Abraham was? But he was going to do what God told him to do. So when he got to the place of the sacrifice, he put the wood on the altar and he bound his son that God had promised him. And he drew back the knife. Can you imagine the tears falling from his face? He drew back the knife because he said, "I'm going to do this because God has promised me that my seed will be in the thousands. So I know that I'm not going to lose this son." But the mere fact of trying to kill him had to have broken Abraham's heart. And the angel stayed his hand. And there was a ram in the bush. You know, when I was going through the seminary studies, with our friends of a different hue. They did not like that story at all. They said, that's such a morbid story. And I said, really? Black folks like that story. And they said, well, why in the world would you like that story? I said, because there was a ram in the bush. There's a ram in the bush. It might look bad, but there's a ram in the bush. We hold on to the ram in the bush. Amen. They were like, they had a uh-uh moment, like, oh, I hadn't really thought about it that way. So, the fruit is us, the ones who have been saved, the ones who accepted Jesus Christ. But we have a task to bring other Christians into the fold. We don't have to save anybody, but we do have to live a life in such a way that people will see our life and say, perhaps there is a better way. Perhaps there is a kinder, gentler way. Perhaps I do not have to do this struggle all by myself. Because look at that old lady. Look at the smile on her face. Look at that young man. He is going places and he knows that there's a God and he will testify to it. And he won't do any and everything. She won't do any and everything. Because there's a God that sits high and looks low and they will hold on to their character. The Lord said that we are to bring fruit into the kingdom, to help others learn to live a Christian life. The word speaks and our actions speak. We, the Christian community, must always strive to have a godly demeanor, to have a godly response, and to check ourselves, because we do not want to cause anybody else to go astray. Amen. The Lord calls us all to repent, which means change your mind. I repent of Satan's big lie in the Garden of Eden. Satan crept into the Garden of Eden and deceived and beguiled Eve. He said, eat of that tree and you will know what God knows. You will understand good and evil. So instead of walking with God in the cool of the day and listening to what God has to say, we fail for the big lie. That's why, children, mama gonna always tell you about lies. She does not like them, because a lie is the very first thing that you do to deceive your mother and do wrong. A liar is a terrible thing to be. So you will always be chastised, Matthew, chastised, Cameron, chastised, Rally, chastised, Destiny, if you lie. Because a lie is a sin that you do not want to have. You want to listen and be obedient and never ever be a liar. Because that was the foundational sin that Satan planted. And because of that, we now think that somehow we can be in control of our lives. How many of us every day believe that somehow we control our lives? I suggest to you that striving on your own strength is the first foundational stone of Christian life that we must repent from, because it is dead works. Dead work is work that originates with us rather than with God. It is the work in which Jesus, in which Satan says, you can do this by your own initiative. You don't have to wait on God. You just go ahead and push forward. A lot of us do not understand that. But we do listen to people who talk about conventional wisdom. Well, conventional wisdom, I love that. Conventional wisdom tells you that you made yourself. No one helped you. Do unto others before they do it unto you. Don't trust anyone. I don't work but if I don't get paid. What's in it for me? Conventional wisdom is a lie from Satan.
Amen.
It is not godly. Conventional wisdom has you holding grudges forever. Conventional wisdom never allows you to forgive anybody any offense. You got a record going back 40 years. 40 years ago, this person did this to me. 40 years ago, really? Conventional wisdom, children, is a lie from the devil. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul.
Amen.
Live an exemplary life among the native so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they will be won over to God's side. And they and there be joined in the celebration when he arrives. What a powerful statement. Friends, do it. This world is not your home. I praise God it's not my home. This world is something I won't even call his name, but this world is something. And the devil almost seems to be walking. You almost are afraid to look at television because you see so much evil. But do not be discouraged, my brothers and sisters. Do not be discouraged. Because God is in control.
Amen.
Pay no attention to conventional wisdom. Many of us have put our security in our money. Well, I want you to know, black folks, we ain't got no money. You got a pension, but let that pension dry up. See how long you're going to stay in that house, okay? For most of us, we ain't got no money, okay? And for those of us that may have a few pennies, have you looked at the Dow Jones Industrial lately? If you're going to rely on your money, I got news for you. You got heartburn. It dropped what? How many points did it drop week before last? And then when the interesting person put the tariffs on aluminum, did it drop again? Really? We cannot rely on our riches.
Amen.
Jesus said that it's impossible for a rich man to go to heaven. Well, the reason he said that is that if you rely on physical things, they won't save you in the end. There has never been a vault heading behind a hearse. And even if it did, the pyramids were not safe. They have been raided how many times? I don't care how much gold they put in those pyramids. They dug through the walls. They still there digging in the pyramids. They won't leave them dead folks alone. And the pyramids is 4,000 years old. People still digging in the pyramids. But we gonna find next. There's a hidden chamber. We got an x-ray. Really? So even if you take it with you, you won't keep it. You won't keep it. Can you tell me truly what you have control over? Your blood pressure, you're taking pills, it works a little while and it don't. Your blood sugar prone to drop. Your bladder is so small that if this service goes too long, you're going to be uncomfortable. What do you really have control over? What about your taxes that you're afraid to file? What about that light bill that came in the other day? Just tell me, really, what do you have control over? Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. Can y'all say that to me? Satan is a liar. There is nothing really worth trying to keep that you cannot give to Jesus.
Amen.
Because Jesus understands.
Yeah.
God does not want you to go out and evangelize. Because if he did, you'd already be up here. I promise you. You wouldn't be able to sit back there because I tried. You won't be able to sit back there. If that's what God wants you to do, you're going to do it. Okay? So God needs godly plumbers, godly brick masons, godly mechanics, godly teachers, godly accountants, godly managers. God needs godly people in every facet of life. Because they bless you. One of the best mechanics in Henry County is Samuel Martin. He's a deacon at Morrill Hill Baptist Church. He'll work on your car. You got a foreign car. He likes the little foreign cars. He'll work on your car for almost nothing. He'll say, well, sugar, you just go on and order that piece, and you pick it up and bring it in here and fix your car. I had that Prius. He fixed my car. He did everything on my car. If I'd had that work done at Nelson, I would have been ripped off. There are godly people everywhere. Be the godly person where you are.
Amen.
Be the godly person on your street. Be the godly person on your block. Be the godly person where you are. And what control there is. It's wonderful. Because when you give yourself to God, he controls your mouth. He controls your temper.
Yes.
The other day, my dear cousin, who I truly love, came to my house, and I was busy doing something else, and she wanted me to help her. And I gave her a terse reply. And praise God, she called me on it. And immediately, I repented, and I apologized. Because that's the old Naomi. That is not who I want to be.
Amen.
That's not who I strive to be. Amen. But once God starts controlling your life, you can take a rebuke and not take it personally. And well, I can't stand her. Bliggity, bliggity. No, why don't you just apologize? Say, honey, I didn't mean that like that. I was preoccupied. You see, that's when you know that you're walking with Jesus. It's when you can take a rebuke. You can take somebody telling you that's not right. And you can apologize in a sincere method and say, honey, I'm sorry. I am a terrible person. I cannot multitask. I do one thing. Don't ask me to multitask. I will make a mess. I promise you, I can't even cook and talk. I get messed up. But that does not mean that I needed to be terse with somebody that I love. And she forgave me. So, Christians, we're not going to be perfect, but we need to keep striving.
Amen.
Every day we strive to be better.
Amen.
Release your sins today. Let Jesus in. Many of us are afraid, and many of us have been wounded so terribly by disappointments, by rejections, by insults, by heartbreak. Life is full of woes and wants and disappointments. Some of them shatter you almost to the ground. What are you holding on to when God can take that grief and he can take it away? He can seal your heart from it. What are you holding on to? Don't hold on anymore. Say, Lord, come into my life anew. Make me a new person. All the hurt, all the disappointment, all the meanness has ever happened, and some terrible things have happened to us that we don't even want to talk about. We don't even want to admit. Give them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Give every last one of them to Jesus because he's got a place for them. All the hurt, all the disappointment, all the heartbreak, he's got a place for it. Give it to him. Say, you got control of this and it can't come back to torment me.
Yeah.
My sister, Reverend Ziegler, says, if you pray, don't worry. If you worry, don't pray. Okay? That chap that won't do right. Yeah, I said chap. I know it's children, but we're in the South. That chap that won't do right. that's plucking your last nerve, that husband that won't do right, that friend that treats you terribly, give it to Jesus. Pray for them. Forgive them. Pray for them. And every time that comes to mind, every time it rises up, God's got it. Parents who are failing in health, you know your parent is slipping away and you can see it every day and it's killing you. Give it to Jesus, because he can help you walk that mile, because we're going to all walk those miles. We're going to all walk them. But if you give it to Jesus, then when they lash out in their dementia and they say mean things, my mom used to shoot at me. Yes, she did. I can laugh now, but it wasn't too funny when it was happening. I can tell you that. But Jesus will take you through it, and you will not be abusive to that parent. You will not. You might go in your room and cry, but you will not say ugly things to that parent, because you know that God's got it. And I love that one, because Javonte loved to say, I got this. I got this. Young people, I got this. That's young people code to leave me alone. Don't talk to me no more. Guess what? Don't leave them alone. Keep talking. Because they don't got this. Okay? We don't got this. God's got it. What did I say? We don't. Who's got it? God's got it. God wants you to open your spirit to his initiative. He wants you to open yourself, your talents, your heart. Share your Christian faith. Lay your hands on your children and pray for them. If they're not in your reach, then get on your knees and ask God to bless them and protect them. And then get up and have that joy in your heart, because you know that grown people are going to do what they're going to do. Amen. You cannot control them, but you can pray for them. And I got news for you. The prodigal son came home, and so will yours. Because God loves us. So let's revisit the three things that Jesus says, because I'm not going to strain your bladder. Let's revisit the three things Jesus said. He said, I must die. We like mortals, we like Jesus, when Jesus was a mortal person, also must die. He was born and he lived as a human. He took on our frailties to become that ram in the bush. He became that ram in the bush so that God could look at us and not be revolted by our sinfulness and ugliness that we have in our heart. Secondly, God said, I'm in control. Stop and give yourself to God anew, because he has been walking beside you, in front of you, and behind you all along. And the only control that you need to give up is that pseudo meaning false, control that you think you have, and you're still flying hot, and you're still holding grudges, you're still lying, you're still slipping and sliding, you're still doing what you ain't supposed to do. You ain't got control. I want you to know the devil is controlling you. Give it to Jesus and watch yourself. Slowly, slowly, and patiently, God will move you from where you were to where he wants you to be.
Amen.
Realize this. Recognize the God of light and power is in the midst of darkness, and put all your hope in him. For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And may God's blessings, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you henceforth and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
include